Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good to see you. We'll go ahead and get started. Why don't we turn to Romans chapter 16. We're going to continue right through the ETC. I know this morning is Easter, and I'm sorry? Can you hear me? Test. Can you hear me? Test. All right. I know this morning is Easter, but I decided we're just going to press right on through the ETC. Okay. Somebody couldn't hear me. He's sitting only two pews in front of me. I don't understand. Okay. Anyway, we're lesson number six for this morning, learning how to follow up. And what we're going to emphasize this morning is the need to pay close attention to that newborn babe in Christ and provide some fundamental things that will enable them to grow properly in the things of the Lord. So we're going to talk about follow-up a little bit this morning. And then I really do want to have at least the last 10 minutes where we can do a little role-playing. Joe and I, we would like to try to go through the entire gospel presentation. I want to demonstrate, Joe will act as our lost man. Number one, the issue of evaluation to try to determine where he's at spiritually. Then we'll address, of course, the actual presentation of the gospel, and the goal is to bring them to the point of decision. And then perhaps, you know, use some of the follow-up questions and things of that nature. So let's hope that we'll have the remaining 10 minutes to do just that. Eventually, if we do some more role-playing, Joe suggested that we also cover maybe some of your common objections. You know, some of the typical arguments and self-defense pleas that a lost person will raise as you try to present the gospel to them. And that's always a lot of fun. That's challenging. So maybe we'll do that maybe the last week or so. And then I do want Ron. Is Ron back? Oh, yeah, there's Ron. I haven't yet asked him, but I would like him to do some things maybe in a couple of weeks. And we'll talk more about that. Tell you what, you have the lesson number six handout, correct? Go to the second to the last page. The last page is a list of riches that we have in Christ. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But go to page 29. And on the bottom of page 29, we have the homework assignment there. If you recall, the very first week of ETC, I asked that you list those individuals with whom you have a close relationship with, who are lost, unsaved, and write those names down. What I would like you to do is take that list. I hope you have them somewhere, and I hope you've been praying for these people. But take that list and try to arrange an appointment, arrange an actual opportunity to sit down with those individuals, with that individual. And the goal, of course, is to present the gospel to them. And what I want you to be mindful of, both myself and Ron Sorg have made ourselves available to be part of that whole presentation. So if you have a lost person, loved one, neighbor, friend, whoever, co-worker, we can talk more about some of the details, but I would really like you to start thinking about actually arranging a meeting with them for the sole purpose of presenting the gospel, applying the method that we have been talking about thus far for the last 5-6 weeks. And if you would like one of us, either Ron or if you'd like me, to be part of that meeting, by all means, contact me, contact Ron, and we'd be more than happy to be a part of it, okay? After the class this morning and even in the weeks ahead, if you wish to approach me and talk about it a little bit more, feel free to do that. And we're available, and we want to try to help in any way possible. So I wanted to mention that before we begin. Start thinking about deliberately meeting with lost people for the sole purpose of sharing the gospel with them. I trust you all know now the critical issues. I trust you know some of the crunch questions that you might want to ask. as you present the gospel to a lost person, the five propositions, the five things that you every lost person has to be confronted with. Perhaps now you've memorized, I hope you've been memorizing some of the verses. It's best to memorize the verses that you're going to use to confront the lost person. How do you prove they're sinners? How do you prove that the consequences of sin is eternal wrath and damnation in the lake of fire? Those verses should be just etched in your mind. Okay, what verses do you prove to demonstrate Jesus Christ and Him alone is the solution to our sin problem? What verses will you use to prove that eternal life is a free gift apart from works of any kind? And how do you prove that God will only accept a one-time response of faith in the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ? You should have your arsenal of passages, again, etched in your mind. Yes, use the Scriptures. Have that book in front of you. Have your little, you know, here's my little New Testament. Always have that with you. And certainly go to the verses. You go immediately to Romans 3:23. Let that individual actually read the passage. But you should always have it here in your mind. You're in control. You're trying to navigate through all of these three critical issues. You're navigating through the five propositions. And you're ready. You're already anticipating. And so this is a strategy that you're developing. So you should have those verses tucked away in your mind. The more verses in your arsenal, the better off you're going to be. But again, keep it simple. You can just stick to the book of Romans and address all of the critical issues and lead somebody to the Lord. But I think it's always wise to have as many verses as possible tucked away in the back of your mind to use when you're dealing with a lost person. Okay, I think that's enough said. This morning, as I said, we want to now look at the handout, lesson number 6, and talk about follow-up. That is, if and when we lead an individual to Christ, they respond positively to the gospel. You ask some of the follow-up questions. You know, you want to ensure they really understand the decision they've made, that they're very clear about what's happened. You know, throw them a curveball. I told you the curveball I like throwing is, you know, why should God let you into heaven? Well, I believe Christ died for my sins. Well, okay, you're now standing there before God Almighty, and then God asks you the same question. Why should I let you into heaven? And you say, well, I believe Jesus Christ died for my sins. What if God says, but that's not enough? So what would you say, LJ? LJ, forget it. If God says that it isn't enough to believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior to get into heaven, what would you say?
It's cross.
Yeah, but what if God says that's not enough? But what if God says that's not enough? See, if the person all of a sudden says, "Well, okay, I've lived a good life. I was baptized. I went to church." They don't. That would bother me. That's not the gospel, is it? See, if the person says, "Well, there's nothing I can do," now I think they understand what the gospel's all about. So, I mean, you can be a little creative and all of that. So, we're convinced now that that person is saved. We're convinced. Have you ever gone to the hospital to visit a newborn baby? For those of us who are parents, you know exactly the whole phenomena. I remember when my son was born, the doctor was literally inside of my wife's belly. She was a tiny little woman, and she had to take a little stool to climb up on, and she's digging in there. It was C-section, obviously. And I remember when little Alex just popped right out of that womb, you know, and I thought, oh my goodness, this thing does something didn't look right. I mean, he's blue and he's all wrinkly and he's dripping. And I'm thinking, wow, I mean, a little monster came out of that thing, you know. And finally, there's a little bit of color and they clean him up. And I was, hey, that does look human, okay? I feel a little bit better about the whole thing. But you know exactly that newborn babe. What kind of a condition is that child in? Absolute dependency. I mean, what can that newborn babe do on his own? Nothing. That babe has no capacity to live, to function, to serve, to contribute. That little newborn babe is completely 100% dependent now on mommy, correct? Mommy now has to provide food and protection and clothing and comfort, etc., 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 etc. And when we start talking about a newborn babe in Christ, be mindful that that newborn babe in Christ is no different than that little child that just popped out of the womb. So what we want to do is not only be mindful, but we want to be proactive. And we want to intervene. And we want to be there now to help begin that new life, ensuring that that new life is going to grow properly and it's going to grow steadily, obviously, in that life that he or she now has in the Lord Jesus Christ. So with that in mind, if you look here on page 26, which is the first page of the handout, there's a little blurb here in that little box. You know, a new convert must not be left to sift for himself. The September 1977 issue of Eternity Magazine reported the results of an evangelistic crusade that involved 178 churches. Out of 4,106 decisions, only 3% joined a local church. That series of meetings created 3,981 babes left exposed without the protection and edification benefit of a local assembly. Now, am I suggesting that our ultimate goal is to build Shorewood Bible Church? Is our ultimate goal to build churches and to build, you know, when we talk about getting a newborn babe, participating and involved and identified with the local assembly, what we're talking about, aiding that newborn babe in the edification process. God has designed the local church to be a place that harbors newborn babes, that provides the edification ministries to ensure that that newborn babe in Christ grows onto godliness and a level of spiritual maturity. Just like that newborn babe. Now, yes, you can say to that newborn babe, here's the Bible. Good luck. You got any questions? Give me a call. You know, when, I remember when we first, I got a degree in engineering when I was going to college, and I pursued aeronautical engineering. I remember one of the first classes in the first semester, we had to buy, you know, hundreds of dollars of books. And one book, it's the aeronautical Bible, its structures and et cetera for building airplanes, basically. So one of the first books we had to buy was this aeronautical Bible, we called it. I mean, it's, you know, this big, and it cost, who knows, $80 back at that time. And so we have this monstrosity here laying on the desk, and the instructor, the teacher, he says, by the time you go through this book, you're going to be able to build an airplane. And so, you know, we begin to look, and you rummage through this book, and it's like Greek. You know, you got the formulas and the math and this and that. And we, you know, what in the world do you do? Interestingly enough, we never started on page one of that book. We had to learn some fundamental issues, some fundamental principles, some fundamental math, something, blah, blah. We're at different sections of this book, but we never went from cover to cover, interestingly enough. I spent how many now? 4 years now. Spending a lot of money, taking classes to learn something about how to build an airplane. And I'm paying this guy to help me learn how to build an airplane. Now, yes, I could have been an Abraham Lincoln and I could have, you know, locked myself in a closet and started studying this book all on my own. But what would have been the odds of me being able to build an airplane within 4 years? It'd be a little bit tough. Yes, you can throw a Bible at a newborn babe and say good luck. What's that newborn babe going to do as soon as you give him a Bible? We've got to ask those questions, right? Well, God, He equips us with a design. How? What do we do with that newborn babe? Do we say begin reading in the book of Genesis? Is that, would that be your recommendation? You know what evangelical Christendom does? Their recommendation is read the book of John. Would you suggest that a newborn babe read the book of John? Why? Why not? You know, where, what are we going to do with that newborn babe? Should we suggest that a newborn babe now begins to read the book of Matthew? You know, learn about the life of Jesus kind of a thing. Well, what are we going to do now? We have that newborn babe, and we now, as a local assembly, and this is why we do want to plug a newborn babe in Christ into a local assembly. Obviously, a grace teaching, grace believing, grace preaching assembly that understands right division. Hey, you know, yesterday we had the men's breakfast, and Ron Knight, he reported that, and he got this through Ricky Kurth about 2 weeks ago. Do you know who Terry Nichols is? You remember who Terry Nichols is? Remember the Oklahoma City bombing? Timothy McVeigh. He was the one who, of course, was put to death. But his partner was Terry Nichols. And there was a Grace believer who somehow got into contact with Grace, with Terry Nichols. He's in jail somewhere. I think he's at Leavenworth, wherever he's at. He's in prison right now. And Terry Nichols got saved. But not only that, he's a Grace believer who's dealing with Terry Nichols, and he's providing now some basic material on right division. Terry Nichols wrote to this guy requesting more dispensational Bible study. Now, that's kind of fascinating. So you have a newborn babe now sitting in prison out there, and fortunately, and again, I wasn't able to verify this. I just heard about it yesterday morning. But luckily, we have a Grace individual now who's going to be instrumental in supplying to Terry Nichols some dispensational Bible material. That's wonderful. Well, that's the body of Christ in action. That's what we are called upon to do. We want to be a place of protection. We want to be a place that that is going to seek the edification of a newborn babe unto godliness. And that's why we want to plug that babe into a local ministry. In Romans chapter 16, we have here a passage that gives to us the Lord's design in establishing a believer. And we don't have to say, hey, you know, good luck and call me if you need me. We can be proactive and we can aid that newborn babe in Christ through this edification process. Romans 16, verse 25. Now to him, talking of course about the Lord, that is of power to establish you, notice, according to my gospel. What we want to do, we strive to see that babe become established. And you know the word stabilize. You see the word stabilize? We want that newborn babe to be firmly planted and stabilized on some doctrines that will give him stability. Eventually it's going to equip him. Paul tells us, he's going to tell us now the three-stage process. He's going to establish you according to, number one, my gospel. And, number two, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. And, number three, by the scriptures of the prophets. So if you, you know, diagram the design that the Lord has laid out, and by the way, the church, the body of Christ, you and I are the pillar and the ground of truth. And that's why we exist. And as a body, members one of another. We've been through 1 Corinthians 12. I mean, we're all different, aren't we? We all have limitations. We all have diverse, abilities and capabilities and et cetera. We're all different. We're not all the eyeball, are we? We're not all the foot, are we? There are things Joe can do that I'm not good at, and vice versa. So I welcome Joe and his ability to do some things as he contributes to the edification of the body whole. And so we want to be mindful of that. And as we together corporately apply the design, the edification process to each other, especially to this newborn babe now, the first thing we want to assure is that, hey, you know, you got to be established according to Paul's gospel. I do not believe that the very first thing you do with a newborn babe in Christ is hand them Things That Differ. Now, is Things That Differ a fantastic book? I mean, it's a wonderful tool. But you just got a person saved from impending wrath, you know, eternal wrath. My recommendation is I don't believe the very first thing that that person needs to do is study things that differ. It's quite a lot of stake to give to a baby. All right, a baby can only handle the sincere milk of the Word of God. Go to 1 Peter. I like in 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, I just like the way Peter here writes it. In 1 Peter 2, 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. In Hebrews chapter 4, there's another description that we want to be mindful of in light of the maturation process when we're dealing with a baby. In Hebrews chapter 5, I'm sorry, not 4, Hebrews chapter 5, look at verse 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, by the way, this is a rebuke, okay? Keep that in mind. You should have been teachers. Ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. We have a beautiful picture here of a babe, and of course in contrast to the strong. And it's absolutely understandable for the babe to have to be fed milk. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul, he was very mindful and sensitive towards babes. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul in chapter 1 talks about how the gospel entered in and all of that. And if you drop on down to verse 6 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. A nursing mother. There's the picture here. Paul says, look, I'm going to treat you like a newborn babe. He understands the vulnerability. He understands their predicament. He understands that they're in need of care and nurturing and love. And you know, Paul, he viewed the Thessalonians as though they were being nursed. And Paul says, I'm going to be gentle among you. I really am turned off by sincere attempts. I'll give them that. Maybe they're sincere. The moment you get saved, you got to get into the church and you got to get active. You got to get involved. You got to be doing, got to be serving, got to be worshiping. You got all of a sudden that newborn babe is expected to perform like an adult. I don't expect a babe to contribute to anything. I don't expect my children, I am now, but when they were a lot younger, I never viewed them as contributors to my household. I don't view a newborn babe in Christ to be necessarily a contributor to the work of the ministry in a local assembly. Why? What does a newborn baby, what is a newborn baby able to do that that an unsaved person is able to do in the work of the ministry? Nothing. You're going to heaven. And the unbeliever isn't going to heaven. Just because they're saved, that does not mean there is a miraculous ability now to do all sorts of things. I think we make a grave mistake getting that newborn babe to begin to work. And we bypass the edification principle. You can't worship, you can't serve God until you know how to do it. Because if we adopt that newborn babe into our local assembly and we begin to impose our system upon him, that person's going to think that true service, true worship, true growth is simply capitulating to our system, to our program. We become nothing more than tutors and governors to that. Our job is to equip that newborn babe via the design, the edification process, with fundamental grace truths, grace principles, so that they now can become equipped to live the grace life, the Christ life, not serve a religious system. You see what I'm getting at here? I want to be very careful with the newborn babe in Christ. Paul says, you know, I'm going to be gentle, even as a nurse that cherishes the children. The first thing a newborn babe in Christ needs to understand is that they are loved and they are valued. That's what a baby desperately needs. I mean, yes, they need milk and all of that, but they need to be loved. They need to be accepted. They need to be received. They need to, yes, develop an identity. And we want to minister over time the milk, the sincere milk of the Word of God. That doesn't mean we now throw at them things that differ. If we go to 1 Corinthians, now here's a great illustration of this. And you know what's going on at Corinth. A lot of problems there. Surprise. And it's interesting. In 1 Corinthians 3, Paul says in verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto what? Babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." Paul's heart was, look, I've already given you some of the milk. And my heart desire is to begin to wean you and to begin to give you some of the more substantive doctrines, some of the meaty doctrines. But unfortunately, there's a problem there, and Paul says, I can't do that yet. And it is interesting that in chapter 2, verse 1, Paul says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech, nor of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." It's interesting, in 1 Corinthians, you don't get the revelation of the mystery in the book of 1 Corinthians. Now, there are a couple of verses we can cross-reference, and we see what Paul's doing, especially in chapter 2. In fact, what Paul is doing in chapter 2 is saying, you Corinthians have been so blindsided and tricked to follow the wisdom of this world, you fail to understand that we, the body of Christ, are in possession of the true wisdom of God, the only wisdom, the unparalleled wisdom of the universe, and that is what God's revealing today. And Paul says, I can't give you the details of that. I mean, you value human philosophy and human wisdom, and you're following all of that stuff. You guys are a mess spiritually, and you fail to realize that God has given to us real wisdom. Paul says, I don't want to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So when we start to deal with a newborn babe in Christ, and by the way, on the handout, if you notice there, sort of towards the bottom, the application of Romans 14, verses 1 through chapter 15, verse 7, is so critical. If you're going to take the position of being strong in the faith, right? Don't demand, don't pressure, don't insist, don't put a guilt trip, don't provoke, don't threaten, don't badger that newborn babe in Christ to live like a mature saint. You're bypassing the edification process on the godliness. You're trying to make them live with a form of godliness, but denying what? The power thereof. Oh, yeah, I could use religion to make Jeff act like a Christian, look like a Christian, sound like a Christian. I mean, I can help him form godliness. But is there any power inside? Religion is really good at working on the outside, creating a form, get you plugged into the religious system. Get you doing. Get you active. But God's interested in what? The edification of the inner man. And that's where we want to be partakers of your joy, helpers of your joy. All right, that's the idea there. With that in mind, we who are strong need to bear the infirmities of the weak. We need to receive those that are weak. We need to be tolerant. We have to be patient. Dealing with a newborn babe takes some effort, doesn't it? And you know what I'm talking about. If you're a parent, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You got to invest a lot of time, a lot of attention. You got to put up with a lot of things. But you don't throw the, I can't give a six-month-old baby my car keys and expect him to drive my car. No ability to do that. We got to ensure that they're going to follow that maturation process, again, the edification process onto godliness. Paul tells us, number one, my gospel. Now, what can you do with the newborn babe? Now, the handout is going to provide some suggestions. If you go to page 27, for example, the second page there, there are some fundamental doctrines that you ought to ensure that newborn babe is grounded upon. Okay? Now, if you do want to give material, I was thinking of some things that you might want to give to a baby. My personal preferences, I'm not going to give them things that differ. It's a little bit on the meaty side. Here, you ever seen Dictionary of the Gospel? This is a really, really good book. My kids went through this book years ago. In fact, we have a set of questions that accompany this book. Dictionary of the Gospel, written by Tom Bruchet. And if you're interested, we've got there are how many chapters? 12 chapters. There are 11 chapters, but we actually have a 12th chapter of the Dictionary of the Gospel begins with, really defines some very fundamental words, doctrines. Righteousness, imputation, justification, grace, redemption, propitiation, remission, forbearance, sanctification. Very critical doctrines that we want that newborn babe to begin to suck on. You know, the milk. Let them start nursing on some things. Yes, by the way, don't tell them to study the book of John. What book would you recommend a babe begin to study? Amen. The book of Romans. I have here in my arsenal an outline of the book of Romans. Excellent. You give that. Okay, Joe just got saved. You know, welcome to the family. Okay, Joe, you know, I this is what I'd like you to do. You know, read the book of Romans. You can read it in one. I mean, you can read it in one night, but just spend the next week. Read the book of Romans. And Joe, next week, how about we get together and let's just talk about the book of Romans. The book of Romans is the bedrock letter to the Church of the Body of Christ. We cannot be established properly in the dispensation of grace, obviously, without the book of Romans. Well, do you need a little study aid? Here's an outline of the book of Romans that'll kind of help you. A newborn babe in Christ, you give them a King James Bible, and they begin to read Romans, and you know, they don't know A from Z. We understand that. I opened up that aeronautical Bible and I wouldn't know where to begin. Well, here's a little aid. Here's an outline of the book of Romans that'll help you understand the general flow of the book. But keep reading it. Read the book of Romans, first off. So like I said, I've got an outline of the book of Romans. If the person, I would suggest, Keith Blades wrote back about, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, a little pamphlet, The Survey of the Bible. It's a little thin, you know, it's only, what, 40 pages. And what he does is he gives a survey of the entire Word of God. So you have a newborn babe who wants to read the Bible. Boy, that's wonderful, right? Yes, read the Bible. But, you know, if the newborn babe starts in Genesis, there's a lot of stuff there, you know. My goodness, he gets to the book of Numbers. And that newborn babe is going to stop reading the Bible, I guarantee you. I can't read it. What in the world is this and that and the other thing? You know, creation is exciting. Genesis is great. You know, wow, God created heaven and the earth.
And it starts to get a little deeper after that. It gets real deep in the book of Numbers. Yeah. Well, here's a little outline of the Bible, 40 pages, that'll kind of help orient you to the place of every book of the Bible. It's not meant to be exhaustive. A wonderful tool. So if a person is stuck in the book of Numbers, well, what is Numbers all about? Oh, okay, Numbers is about something that God is doing with the nation of Israel. See, that newborn babe isn't going to think that, oh my goodness, let's say they stop in Leviticus chapter 26. And, if thou obey, I will bless. If you don't obey, God will curse me. You don't want that poor child to think that, well, will God punish me if I don't obey God? Well, wait a minute now. Look at the place Leviticus falls. It's written to who? Israel. So real basic, okay? You don't need to begin to dissect, all the deep things. But this is a good tool if you want to give to a newborn babe. Outline of the book of Romans, perhaps the survey of the Bible. By all means, Dictionary of the Gospel is a wonderful way to begin the edification process. And use the questions. I would say, Joe, let's meet. You read the first chapter of Dictionary of the Gospel, which is the issue of righteousness. And then what we can do next week, I'll give you this question sheet. And you answer those questions. And let's get together and let's just talk about it a little bit. Okay? What is righteousness? I'll just give you some of the questions here. Define the word righteousness. You define to me, what is righteousness? What is God's standard of righteousness? What are the basic doctrines taught here or there? How many are righteous? How many do good? Those are real basic questions, but all we're trying to do is we're trying to help the guy now begin the edification process. That's a good way to do that, and we have these tools, by the way, available for you. By the way, we do have Dictionary of the Gospel. You should have a bunch of these on your desk to give out to newborn babes. You really should have that. And we can make these questions available to you. We have Survey of the Bible. Now, let's say, so what we want to do is, do they understand Paul's gospel, the book of Romans? Okay, that's critical. Launch them into the book of Romans. Now, if we're back there in Romans chapter 16, let's move on. Romans chapter 16, part of the establishment, part of the edification process. Establish them in Paul's gospel. Paul is going to give us some wonderful truths concerning our security, right? Romans chapter 5. I mean, if a newborn babe is ever worried about, well, could I lose it? Or what happens if I sin? That's a very good question. It would encourage me for a babe to say, but Alex, what if I start sinning again? By the way, can you expect a newborn babe in Christ to stop sinning? Are we going to say, I'm having a I don't know, you don't demonstrate a changed lifestyle, Joe. Did you really trust the Lord? Lordship, salvation kind of stuff? Don't think, I've heard these stories about people getting saved, they immediately dropped the bottle, they immediately stopped smoking, they immediately had this transformed life. And maybe that's true for them. But does that prove they're saved or not saved? Be very careful. Joe's a newborn babe in Christ, but let's say he's spent the last 40 years engaged in some pretty wicked stuff. He's still going to have some compulsion there. I mean, bad habits, how is he going to just stop, boom, on a dime? Now, I would love for him to just stop on a dime with the sin and with the wickedness and whatever it is. But boy, he's going to start falling into some guilt if he's struggling with some particular sins in his life. Well, wait a minute. I can't stop this. I've had guys in the room back there in the office tell me, this is a particular sin that I struggle with. Guys who've been saved quite a long time, mind you. And I battle this. And I'm trying to have victory. I'm trying to claim victory. I'm trying to stop. I can't. I can't. I can't. And these are guys that have been saved for a while. And specific sins that they're trying to deal with. well, my goodness, a newborn babe in Christ, we can't demand a transformed life. Where does the transformed life come from? By the renewing of your mind. Joe, newborn babe in Christ, Romans is going to start to renew his mind. He has the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Yes, in the sight of Almighty God, he is an adult son, possessing all of the rights and privileges of adulthood. But Joe has no capacity how to access any of that. He doesn't know how to live like a son yet. He doesn't know how to cry, Abba, Father yet. He's just trying to make it day in and day out. He's trying to have victory over this, that, and the other thing. So what I can do for Joe is begin that process of transformation by the renewing of your mind. Joe, there is some bad stuff that you've been indoctrinated with for the last 40 years. And what we're going to do now is allow God to tell you some things. And you now, by the renewing of the spirit of your mind, you'll learn God's words, God's truth, God's doctrine. You got to begin that process of re-education. A newborn babe has to know how to be educated. We don't demand changed life. We encourage education. Proper education will now produce a change or transform, the Bible word, transformation, a transformed life. Romans is going to provide an education now for the babe on some fundamental truths that God says he's got to know first. Now, don't jump to the book of Ephesians. I love Ephesians. Who here, when you're down, when I get a little, bummed out, I go to Ephesians, and man, I'm reminded, I'm seated there, and God's going to show the riches of His kindness, in the ages to come. And if Ephesians can't encourage you, something maybe not completely right. Joe's a newborn babe in Christ. Hey, Joe, start studying Ephesians. My goodness, what do you mean? I wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against powers and principles. What's going on? All of a sudden I'm telling Joe to get ready to fight Satan. I'm not going to tell a baby to get ready. You don't send a newborn to Afghan and start fighting the Taliban. You don't do that. The British Army, they'll recruit boys at age 16. That's kind of young. But they're not allowed to fight in combat until they're age 18. That's kind of interesting. Well, listen, Joe, yeah, there's some heavy stuff going on. But you know what? Let's follow what God says you need first. Romans will tell you what you need first. I'm not discouraging you from enjoying Ephesians. But you know what, Joe? You better really understand and be rooted and grounded on some fundamental truths that Romans provides. Because if you're not grounded in Romans, you're not following God's design. You're trying to bypass some things. You're already starting to engage in spiritual combat in the heavenly places. And you know what? You've bypassed God's desire to get you rooted and grounded first. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we what? We have. You know what God wants you first to know, Joe? You have some things. So don't tell that babe, you better start doing this. You better start doing that. And if you really love God, and if you're really saved, you'll be this, that, and the other thing. No, Joe, I want you to learn what you have. Let's shower that babe with the riches of God's grace and glory to him. Let the Lord love him. Let the love of Christ just captivate him. That he needs some nurturing doctrine. Being justified, we have. God says, I want you to know what I've given to you first. God doesn't want you, Joe, giving me anything. That's pretty a dumb way of saying it. If I were God, Joe, I don't want you giving me anything. I want to show you what I'm giving, what I've given to you. Joe, find out what you have. Enjoy what you have. Yeah, you have peace. We have peace with God. And Romans 5 continues now, demonstrates, you know what Romans 5 does? The much more love of God. What God wants Joe, the newborn babe in Christ, to know and understand and be established is, you have my much more love when you face sin in your life, when you slip, when you fall, when you screw up, when you throw up, when you poop the diaper. You know what, Joe? Much more, I love you intensely, and I love you with all that I have. And I'm proving this to you, Joe. You'll never be separated from me. I'll never judge you. I'll never condemn you. I'll never hold it against you. That's what a babe needs to learn. Wow, that's the kind of father I have. See, what we're trying to do, those are some things that the book of Romans teaches. Obviously, Romans chapter 6, 7, 8. Our death certificate in Romans 6. Yeah, Joe, okay, you're struggling with sin, and I know you really are striving to be, quote, that good Christian. And I know you want to serve God, and that's good. But you know where service begins? It begins in Romans chapter 6 when you understand you're dead and your flesh, you know, is something God will never accept. He won't accept your self-righteous efforts, and He won't accept you living under the law. He won't accept outward performance. God will only accept the life of His Son, which you have, Joe, and what you need to do is learn something about that. Romans 6, Romans 7, we're dead to the law. Romans chapter 8, we're dead to the flesh. Romans 8 is going to reaffirm the much more love of Christ. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Oh, it's as though God the Father is just embracing the newborn babe. And I want you to know how much I love you, Joe. Enjoy me, okay? The assurance, the confidence, the certainty. We want that babe to be able to develop a confident certainty about who he is. Yeah, you did screw up, Joe. You know, that's not a good idea what you did there. But that's okay. I know you're weak in the faith. And you know what? I'm still receiving you. I'm not going to lash out and call you a sinner, call you a backslider, question whether you're really saved, you see. No, okay, I'll bear the infirmity of the weak, and I'll bear your burden, and let's work together through this. And again, it's the reeducation of the mind. That's what we're trying to do with that babe. We, as a corporate, a local assembly here, that's what we're trying to do with these babes in Christ. Well, Romans chapter 16, verse 15 again. Now to him that is a power to establish you according to number one, my gospel. And now we can begin to move into the second level of education, doctrinal education. Well, we want now, okay, Joe understands Romans, okay, and some of the fundamentals there. Well, Joe, the next step now in the edification process is, okay, you got to learn some things about the revelation of the mystery. Preach Christ according to that revelation of the mystery. There are some books out, some tools that you can suggest that the newborn actually should give it to them. Rarely, well, maybe they will go out and buy it. Things That Differ. We are all familiar with Things That Differ. Things That Differ is a heavy, you know, it's heavy stuff there. Perhaps you want to start with something a little more basic. Moses and Paul. I would give to Joe, the unbeliever, the newborn babe in Christ, I would give to Joe Moses and Paul before I would give him Things That Differ. That's just my own personal way of doing it. Moses and Paul is a very simple, it's not a simple book, but it simply lays out a distinction between Moses, the dispenser of the law. In fact, the dispensers of law and grace. Moses was given the law. Paul was given what? Grace. See, I don't need Joe now to give me the seven economies and the seven dispensations and, you know, all. I mean, that's good stuff. You know, don't get me. I don't necessarily believe in all the seven economies, but you know, I'm not saying it's bad stuff. What I'm saying is, a great way of beginning the orientation process is, hey, Joe, why don't you, here's a nice little tool, Moses and Paul. Why is there a difference between these two guys? Because of what God gave to Moses, the law, what God gave to Paul. Great. What's the difference between law and grace? This book, if it's read and studied, Joe will walk away and say, man, there's a huge difference, right? Yeah, there's a big difference between law and grace. There's a big difference between earth and heaven.
there's a big difference between the nation of Israel and the church, the... And I hope, Joe, you understand you're not Israel, recipients of the law, participants in the prophetic program, with an inheritance on the earth. Joe, you're a member of the church, the body. That's what Ephesians now begins to expand upon. The book of Ephesians provides expansion doctrine on your corporate identity as a member of the church, the body of Christ, and what God is seeking to achieve in reclaiming the heavens back under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joe, that's who you are. That's why there's all this talk about wrestling with principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in dark places. Yeah, we're involved in a heavenly battle, you see. Ephesians 6 ends that way. Well, okay, hey, much more love, you understand that. We want to begin to orient them now into the doctrines of Ephesians, Colossians, and Philippians. And a good book, I would say, number one, Moses and Paul, if you wish to give them a tool, they should read the Bible. Always encourage that they read the Bible. Read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible. Romans, 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 Romans. Did you read Romans? Okay, read it again, read it again, read it again. Did you read it? Read it again. They should read Romans every week for the rest of their lives, as far as I'm concerned. I try to read Romans every week. That's my own personal thing. I mean, I can't get enough of Romans. But there's a whole lot more doctrine than just the book of Romans. Next step, Moses and Paul's a great tool. Things that differ is okay if I feel comfortable. Something that helps orient a newborn babe. Dispensational Relationships by Charles Baker. What I like about dispensational relationships is after every chapter, there is a series of questions. Try to instill into the newborn babe a sense of study. You're a student now. You're going to be a student the rest of your life, Joe. Study to show thyself approved. And so questions, you know, the questions that come at the end of every chapter, they're wonderful to get the guy to start thinking about being a student of the Word of God. Dispensational Relationships does a great job in comparing law and grace, body and Christ, and Israel, heavenly and earthly and all of that. God's Clock of the Ages, another very simple book that, again, will orient that person to some basic dispensational issues. Clock of the Ages also has questions after every chapter. Again, it instills that sense of study into the life of the believer. Now, as they get a little more, as they begin to grow, and they're able to handle a little more meat, you know, I mean, Paul, his apostleship and message, this is a classic. This is, after Things That Differ, I think this is number two as far as available material written by Cornelius Stamm. Things That Differ will always be a classic. Paul, his apostleship and message. This is a good one. Man, who is this guy, Paul? Why is he so special? This gets into more of the meaty stuff. Our Great Commission's okay. That's all right. But I like Paul, his apostleship and message a little bit better. So there are some tools that you might want to recommend. And the reason I say that is, hey, Joe, I want you to read the first chapter of Moses and Paul. And let's get together whenever and let's talk about that. What's the difference between law and grace? What are the fundamental differences between the two? So those are things that you might want to consider. And then, of course, Romans 16:25, and the scriptures of the prophets. We now can go to the book of Genesis, the book of Numbers. We can go to Revelation. Because we have been grounded and we've become rooted and established in the doctrines of the Romans epistle, in the doctrines of the Ephesians epistles, we know our identity, our position, our status, our blessings, our privileges. I know who I am. I now can go, I can launch out into all the books of the Bible, and I'm not going to get all confused and screwed up. A lot of believers out there, they're not established on the fundamentals down here. They begin to launch out in the book of Psalms. How many times do I hear saints going to the book of Psalms and claiming some of those promises? Is Psalms written to the church, the body of Christ? Is there doctrine in Psalms that can be beneficial to the body of Christ?
is that newborn able to distinguish what doctrine he's a, you know, we have to be very careful. The book of Psalms is written specifically to the nation of Israel, preparing her for the day of the Lord's wrath. That's what's going on in Psalms. We're not going to go through the day of God's wrath. I'm not saying we don't enjoy Psalms. There's fantastic doctrine in Psalms. But see, I can study Psalms now and not be confused and think that, wow, God is writing to me and maybe this is what's going to happen. No, I understand where I am in history. I understand where I am in the program of God. I can now enjoy all the Word of God like it could never have been enjoyed before without the principle of the edification process. Okay? So follow-up is real critical. We're already out of time. And you look at on pages 27 and 28, there are some real practical things in approaching the newborn and setting up times where you can spend time together studying some basic issues and some basic doctrines, how to go about doing it. That last page, Christ my all in all, I would say one of the first things you should give to that newborn babe is a copy of this. What it does is you see that much more love principle down here, the book of Romans? What this sheet does is demonstrate to the newborn babe all that they now are in Christ, all that they now have in Christ. It will reaffirm the much more love that God is showering that newborn babe with. And, you know, I need to remind myself of some of these riches myself. There's some wonderful, wonderful benefits that are now ours in Christ Jesus. These are the things that we want to communicate to that newborn babe in Christ. Any questions before we stop? And again, I apologize. We're going to say, you know what I think we're going to do as far as role playing? I think we should just deliberately set an entire session to do that instead of trying to do it after, you know, because I'm so long-winded and I ramble and I want to do role playing, okay? I really do. So we'll set a session just on role playing. Any questions before we have to stop? Father, again, we thank you for your love and for your grace. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for the life that is ours. May we always enjoy it. May we always just continually study, enjoying the riches of your grace. And as we are built up and established, and as we nourish our inner man, just enjoying the riches and the blessings, and as we're equipped, may we just, with great sensitivity, reach out to those who are young, those who are carnal, those who are struggling and weak in the faith. And may we truly be helpers of their joy, providing doctrines and providing the watch care and the resources that will strengthen them. We thank you for your love. And as we deal with newborn babes, may we be extremely sensitive. May we be gentle. As a nurse cherisheth her children. And we just pray these things now in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.